Are you tired of feeling like you have to hide your faith in order to be successful in business? Welcome to the Flamingo Advantage podcast, where Christian marketing and client experience coach Katie Horner leads you to embrace your uniqueness, to see the marketplace as a mission field and your business as an act of worship. Hey, it's Katie. Welcome back to another episode of the For Your Success podcast. Today, we're talking about how do you know God wants you to be in business? I talk to lots of people who are either thinking about going into business, starting a side business, or who maybe are in business and doubting if this is really what God wants them to do. And we're going to dive into that today. But before we do, I want to be sure that you know you're invited to our Christian Marketing Retreat next week. You'll want to head to the link in the show notes to be able to grab your spot at that event. It's virtual. You can attend online from anywhere. We're going to be talking more about this, who your God is as it applies to your business and your marketing and your sales conversations and the way that you serve your audience and your team and your family as you do business. We talk about how to do business without compromising our faith, our family, and those values that are so, so important to us. I hope that you'll join us as that is coming up very quickly and you'll want to be sure and get registered for that Christian Marketing Retreat. We only do these a couple of times a year, so please don't miss out on this one if you need to be refreshed in your spirit, as well as refocused and encouraged to take the next step in marketing your business better. All right, so how do I know I'm even supposed to be in business? How do I know this is what God wants? It's a question that a lot of us have, and I think it's a legitimate question. Today, I want to walk you through a series of five steps to be able to know whether or not God wants you in business. And I think these are things that you're going to see as we move along are going to be different for every one of us. But the commonality is, and the common truth is, that we can go back to God's word and we can ask the Holy Spirit, who has promised to lead us into all truth, how to be able to apply this to our business. And so I want to invite you to do that today. And by the way, if you know a friend who needs to hear this, please share it with them. This is how we get the word out about the ministry of this podcast. All right. So first off, we're starting with those doubts, with that question, am I supposed to be in business at all? How do I know that God wants me in business? And I think so many of us have been brought up with this idea of fear of missing what God wants, or fear of a God who is somehow angry at every little misstep, that we are afraid to do anything because we don't want to do the wrong thing. And I want to submit to you today that there is a way that you can move forward in confidence. And that is primarily through knowing your God and knowing His word, knowing what He says. And so we're going to start today with our doubts and our questions over in the book of Romans. And in Romans 12, Paul is talking to the believers. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And isn't this what we all want? We want to do the will of God, right? If you're a believer, you've got that desire in there that out of gratitude for what God has done for you, you want to do what He wants you to do. Lord, just show me what you want me to do, right? And yet we stumble around because we don't know the word, because we don't know what He's asking us to do. And so if you follow that passage on down, Romans 12, he talks about how we're all different members of the body of Christ, and each member has a different office. And it says we have many members in one body, and they don't all have the same office. We are many, and yet we are one body, and everyone a member of the other. We have gifts that are differing according to the grace, the divine enablement, and the God-given favor that is given to us. If we prophesy, let us prophesy according to that proportion of faith. If it's ministry, do ministry. If it's teaching, do teaching. I'm paraphrasing a little bit as we go through this, but you get the picture. If you exhort, exhort well. If you're giving, do it with simplicity. He that rules, let him do it with diligence. He that shows mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness. All these different roles in the kingdom, in the body of Christ. And he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, honoring one another in your differing gifts, not complaining or comparing. And why aren't you so like this? And how come not everybody can do this one job the same, right? But preferring one another because of your God-given differences. And then at the end, he says that you will overcome evil when you overcome evil with good. But then the next passage that also talks about this, I want to jump over to 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And this one is really interesting to me as well, because it's also talking about the different jobs in the body of Christ. Now, you say, Katie, what does this do with my business? I'm telling you, we're getting to that here with these different jobs as a member in the body of Christ, because we are first children of God, and then we are lights in the secular world. And so it says, let there not be any division in the body, but let members have care one for another. And it talks about if you are the body of Christ, the members in particular, God has set some in the church as apostles and some prophets, some teachers, some that do miracles, some that have healings, some have the gift of helps, some have the gift of governing. It says, you should covet earnestly these gifts, but I show unto you a more excellent way. And then we flip the page to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and the more excellent way he's talking about is love. And so what I want you to see here is that there are a number of ways for you to glorify the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The business vehicle that you use to glorify God is not as important as the commands to glorify your God. And this is where we get into point number two about the design. Your design, what is that gifting that you have in the spirit? Are you a gifted teacher? How can you make money with that? Are you gifted at administration and governing? How can you make money with that? Are you gifted at ministry? Great. How can you minister through this other skill that you have to make money with, right? It all comes back to glorifying your God according to the way that he has designed you in your life. Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5 talks about how God knew you in your mother's womb. He knew you. Jeremiah 29, 11 talks about God having good plans for you, a hope and a future. He knew what he was doing when he created you. And then if you move from there into desire, if we go and look at Psalm chapter 37, 37, 4 is the verse we always go to, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? But we skip the rest of this. The rest of that passage, if you start back to Psalm 37, 1 says, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity because they prosper. They're going to be cut down. You trust in the Lord, you do good, and then you will dwell in the land and be fed. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you those desires of your heart. If you commit your way into the Lord and trust in him, he will bring it to pass. So this is not about you and your wants and your delights. It's about you walking with your God so that he can bring to pass those things in your life that he planted in you before you were born. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of those who prosper in the way, because of the man who brings wicked to pass. Evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. This is full of promises if you go back and read through that chapter in Psalm 37. And this goes along with Joshua chapter 1, where God is talking to Joshua. And in verse 8 here is the one that we always think about, right? This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That word prosperous there, from what I can find in my research, that word prosperous is actually talking about financial prosperity, right? When we are delighting ourselves in our God, committing our way to the Lord, using the gifts and talents that he's given us, recognizing that it's not going to be like everyone else in the body of Christ, and that's okay. When we are in his word, observing to do what he is asking us to do, then he will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. And the thing that that tells me is that I've got to go from doubt to focusing on the design, that I've got to focus on the desires that God has given me and uncover what desires he has for my life. And then I've got to delight in him. And then I've actually got to do the work. I've got a duty. It says, when you observe to do according to the law, turn not from it to the right hand or the left, back here in Joshua 1 again, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. We have got a duty to do, and then the prospering comes. And if you go over to Ecclesiastes 2:24, another one of my favorite scriptures, talking about work, is there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his work. And in Deuteronomy two different places in Deuteronomy, we find God talking about being able to bless the work of your hands. Deuteronomy 16, 15 says, 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast to the Lord and in the place that the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. And therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. And then if you go over to Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, he says, when you cut down your harvest in your field and you've forgotten a sheaf, you shall not go again and fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. And so here are specific things that we are doing, and then the blessing comes, right? And so we shouldn't just have this desire that we're following, but we should also be delighting in our work, and we should be doing, we should be endeavoring to do the work. And then it says the blessing comes. In Genesis, when God created, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. The fruit has to happen first before the multiplication can happen. And this is where I think the answer to that old chicken and the egg conversation comes in, right? Be fruitful and multiply. There has to be fruit first in order for there to be multiplication. And so as you're doing this work, it will become fruitful and it will multiply. So how do you know that God wants you in this job? How do you know that this business is what God wants for you? I believe it's going to reveal itself in your design and in your desire. Is this something that you enjoy doing? Are you delighting in God, and are you finding the work delightful? And are you doing the work? Because it's one thing to know what you enjoy doing. It's another to actually do it. And so many of us are so scared of missing what God has for us that we're sitting on our hands not wanting to do anything. We need to take that step and get out there and do the work. Once the seed is planted, then it can grow. Then it can bear fruit. Then it can multiply. If you're saying, well, I don't think God wants me to do any of this because I'm not seeing him multiply things. Well, he can't multiply what's not been seeded. There's got to be some action that you take in faith, not because I work to earn, but because I do out of a gratitude and out of a joy in the fact that God saw me and saved me and gave me a new name and an inheritance. And the life that I now live, I live for him. And I get to do this business for him to impact the people that he brings to me through my business. So I hope that that gives you some things to think about today. I'd love to have your feedback and your thoughts on this. We'll include the scriptures, of course, in the show notes for you so you can go back and look them up. Don't just take Katie's word for it. Go back and study scripture for yourself and let the Holy Spirit teach you what you need to know from his words, because they're the things that last forever. You have a message though, my friend, and that's why you're here. That's why you're listening to this, because through that business that God has laid on your heart, he has a message that's going to impact more people, and it will impact them if you don't get it out there. We'll see you in the next episode.
If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and consider joining our free listener community at theflamingoadvantage.com. Remember, my friends, your message matters and your voice is needed. Don't be afraid to let your flamingo show.